You're listening to the MLB.com Hot Stove Podcast, presented by K Jewelers. Every kiss begins with K.
Welcome in, everybody, to the MLB.com Hot Stove Podcast, presented by K Jewelers. We have filled up the couch here for this one. Tim McMaster, along with Anthony Castrovince, Richard Justice, and Jeff Nelson, as it's day three of the winter meetings here, so it's time to kind of look back at what's happened during the winter meetings. We do have some news today as well, so we'll break it all down. But the first question is, day three, do we all know how to get around this hotel?
Oh, I don't. Today was the third time where I tried to get in the wrong room and realized I was on the wrong floor. So
I did the same exact thing today.
I think
today,
I might have spent a month here before I really got that done.
Yeah, I keep winding up at a shoe store, so I just gave in yesterday and bought shoes.
Mine was the first day, and then I finally figured out my room was only downstairs. I didn't have to walk all the way around the other side of the hotel, and I just looked down and said, oh, you know what, I could have cut off about 20 minutes of my walk.
Actually, it would be easier just to sleep on this couch.
Absolutely, oh, exactly. Absolutely. I talked to Rex Brothers yesterday, who's from around here, actually the same hometown as David Price, and he said his rehearsal dinner for his wedding was here. He goes to the hunting shop next door all the time, and he said he kind of actually has a lay of the land. So I said, well, you should have been here all week to help everybody out.
That would be a good excuse to miss your wedding.
All right, let's get into baseball. Let's get into the news and baseball. And as far as day three goes, one of the big stories is Kenta Maeda, Japanese pitcher, and he's officially been posted now. And now the posting's a little different now. There were years when those astronomical sums came about, but things have been changed now, and a team that wants to negotiate has to put up $20 million. Does that help the smaller budget teams maybe still be a factor in something like this?
It could. I mean, it's still $20 million, and only a certain number of teams are that pliable, but at this time of year, of course, a lot of teams haven't devoted their offseason resources yet. So, yeah, you could see a wider market, and it's just a matter of finding what the pitcher feels is the best fit for him.
How about the timing of this? The big pitchers have gone off the board, so is this almost a perfect scenario where once the bids are in and everything, this could move pretty quickly, Richard?
Yeah, I think the timing is good for him because teams like the Dodgers are looking for pitching. You know, lots of teams. I think the Cubs are still looking for a starting pitcher on some level. So now you come around just as the free agent market begins to clear out a little bit. Good for him.
What do we know about him as a pitcher? I mean, we've seen pitchers come over from Japan, some of them with tremendous success, some of them slightly disappointing. But at this point, Nelly, we've seen so many. Do you think that the teams have a better idea of how guys are going to do once
they get
here?
I think so, because, you know, a lot of the Asian players, especially the pitchers, come over here and they don't have a lot of success. I mean, you had Darvish, you have Tanaka, and they're very few. You know, you look at Maeda, this guy's 6 foot, 150-some pounds. You know, to me, he doesn't project out very well as far as a high rotation guy, maybe more of a 4 or 5 for some teams that are looking for some back-end rotational help. You know, he's only throwing, in the low 90s? So he's not nearly the speed that Darvish or Tanaka has. So you wonder, and even the regimen. I mean, these guys are used to, every 6 days. They're not throwing as much as they do when they come over here. The Yankees really had to monitor Tanaka, and especially with the arm injury, they had to figure it out. So he's going to come over here and be a 4 or 5 guy at that build. You wonder, okay, can he last? So, you know, I know the $20 million posting at the 30 days to try to negotiate a contract. So, you know, it may be a better fit or maybe a cheaper fit than going out and getting a Cueto or a Mike Leake. But still, I Mike Leake and Cueto are more of a higher rotation guy, maybe a 2 or a 3 when Maeda's probably in the back end.
But I think one of the things we know about Japanese pitchers is they come very fundamentally sound and usually with a pretty wide repertoire of pitches.
Right.
And this guy supposedly throws what you would call a heavy sinker. You know, we've seen it with John Farrell threw a heavy sinker like that. And also they know the split finger. They know how to work counts. So, you know, if they stay healthy, like you said, it's a guy that probably translates into being a productive major league pitcher here at a time when lots of teams are looking for that.
When he first comes over, a team that's going to take that chance on him, are they considering the six-man thing? Are they thinking about getting extra days off for these pitchers, or are they hoping that these guys can go every fifth day?
It's hard to get buy-in at the big league level with a six-man rotation, as we can scope it out on paper and it looks good to us. So that's going to be difficult to pull off. And that's the big trick here is we've seen, I mean, Darvish and Tanaka, they come over, they had instant success because of the repertoires that you guys mentioned. But that workload eventually takes their toll, and both those guys have had elbow issues. So I'd be curious to see. I mean, Maeda's developed a nice changeup. That's kind of what has brought him to this level where teams are really considering devoting a substantial amount of money to him, but it's still a really large unknown. And even if the posting fee isn't as extravagant as we've seen in some other cases, it's still a lot of money.
Any thoughts on what teams would make the most sense?
Well, I mean, the Diamondbacks have been looking at this guy for a long time, but obviously they've since committed their resources elsewhere. Richard mentioned the Cubs could certainly play in this market. I'll be curious to see how the Orioles handle things going forward. Now, a lot of that depends on how much money they devote to their offense, and obviously there's the Chris Davis situation still playing out. But there's more teams looking for starting pitching than not, that's for sure.
Didn't they say something that he was more interested in the West Coast, or he would prefer staying out in the West Coast?
Yeah, the first
travel-wise,
I thought of was the Dodgers.
Right.
But I think the Texas Rangers are have been very thorough in trying to get in investigating starting pitching. And I think Colby Lewis is one guy, but they want to add another starter. They have a history there. They know the lay of the land. Obviously, he knows them, so that could be a good fit too. But if he wants to stay on the West Coast, the Dodgers make a lot of sense.
So he's a guy that we'll see how much he costs. But big picture here this offseason, when we've seen these huge contracts, obviously Greinke and Price, and what they've gotten, have you gotten a feeling that teams that maybe came into this offseason thinking we can go out and sign a free agent pitcher are now thinking, hey, maybe we need to trade for a free agent starting pitcher because the money is just taken off?
Well, but then you look at the trade acquisition cost for Shelby Miller the other night. So it's the price
one
is high no matter,
feeds the
no
other,
no matter where you are.
Yep.
It's a high cost right now, an alarmingly high cost. So I think there's depth in the starting pitching market, but I think teams really thought that the upper end was worth committing to early, and that's been interesting because the position player market has been much slower to develop. So, but yeah, you could see more trade talk, of course, and there's teams with pitching depth. But as far as the upper caliber potentially available arms, we've heard about what the Marlins have asked for Jose Fernandez, and it's so extravagant that it's obviously not going to happen. But maybe some lower tier type guys.
Well, you have teams that come into the winter meetings and they automatically know what they're going to spend and who they're going to go after. You know, the David Price market, the Greinke market, you know those teams are going to go in and they're going to spend. And then after that, then you have clubs that say, okay, Samardzija, I thought that was a pretty high price that the Giants paid. So they got guys now that the top tier guys are basically gone. Do you want to go out and spend a bunch of money on Cueto? He's already turned down 120. That might have bite him. You know, later, he may not get that again from someone else. Mike Leake's been talked about a lot, but whenever you have a top starter, you can put together a trade for him like a Miller. That was a little shocking that Braves did that. But, you know, once those top guys go, it's probably easier to go and make that trade. You know, I'd rather give up some prospects on a guy that, you know, is very established in the big leagues. You know what you're going to get out of him. And, of course, the Marlins are going to ask for the farm. You know, Jose Fernandez is a difference maker on a team. But, you know, now with some of these free agent guys, you know, it may not be worth it to be spending a bunch of money. You might as well go up and give up a couple top prospects for a guy that you know what you're getting.
Cardinals are always interesting in this,
right,
in that there are no organizations more disciplined. They walked away from Albert Pujols when they were not comfortable with it. They walked away from David Price when it was not comfortable. They have, seven big league arms, eight
right,
big league arms. There's questions about youth. There's questions about health. So what will they do as it relates to Johnny Cueto? Will they go past what they're comfortable with? Will they be in at Omeda? You know, are they willing to give up prospects? And they've got prospects to go out and get a guy. Let's say, I keep thinking about Sonny Gray. Like,
yeah,
if you know,
you and a lot of other people.
The one thing Billy Bean does is he listens.
Yeah.
And if a guy is willing to listen, the Marlins clearly are listening on Jose Fernandez. You don't know. They may get the answer they wanted. Look, I promise you, the Braves are stunned that they got Dansby Swanson for this. I mean, they are in a party mood today thinking, okay,
right,
this is where we can show this guy to our fans and say, this is where it starts right here. This is the guy we're going to build around. And it happened quickly.
Yeah. Let's get into that a little bit more in the Shelby Miller deal. I want to see it from both sides because you said it. You get Dansby Swanson, and that's not all. You also get a guy who could be in your rotation next year. And talking to Jim Callis, upside-wise, as far as Blair goes, he could end up being Shelby Miller in a couple of years. And then they get a big league proven player as well. And we heard talk that maybe that's what they actually wanted to trade for Jose Fernandez, and they end up getting Shelby Miller for it. I mean, it's insane. But from the Braves' standpoint and everything they've been doing to slowly get younger, does this just kind of blast off for that program, as far as, you know, taking the next step?
First of all, I believe they're going for the record for most trades in a calendar year. They're on the right track, but I love what they've been doing, really. And I know it's not extremely popular. Maybe this trade starts to shift that popularity a little bit, because I think this is something fans can really embrace when it is a number one pick of Swanson's caliber. But yeah, don't oversell or don't undersell, Ender Inciarte and his role in this. If you talk about 5 years of control for a guy who can play anywhere in the outfield, a lot of teams like his bat. I know he doesn't get on base a lot, but he's a good player. So I love what they did even from that perspective, even before you start talking about the number one pick. The way they flipped Jason Hayward, 1 year of Jason Hayward for 1 year of Miller, plus all of this, is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think you have to go back to that. You have to consider that when you think about the deal. And then everybody talks about the new ballpark, and they're moving to the new ballpark. And not only do you get these players, but you get Dansby Swanson, who's basically grew up in the shadow of where they're building the new ballpark. I mean, he becomes kind of the poster child, He's the marketing guy.
Well, right. I mean, the name you throw out is Chipper Jones. Now, that's not fair, of course. Chipper's going to the Hall of Fame. But look at where they were 18 months ago. They had some problems payroll-wise. They had contracts they were trying to get out from under. They had a bad farm system. And they've remade it. It takes guts to do what they're doing. Yeah. Because there's some short-term pain. You know, I saw it in Houston firsthand. Your fans go away. Your TV ratings go down. And it's hard to see the plan. And that's what I think is so impressive about Swanson. They know this guy. You know this guy. He's going to be in the big leagues quickly. And this is the cornerstone.
A rebuild like this, Nelly, we see John Hart doing it. And John Hart's been through this. He's been through it all. And he's a guy that I don't think he's worried about his, you know, job security or anything like that. He's just going out there and doing that. Does it take that guy to be able to do it this way?
It does. And like Richard said, it takes some guts to be able to do it, because you're going into a new stadium and you want to keep that fan base or actually bring them back. And now in some ways they're going into a rebuilding mode and gathering a bunch of youngsters going into that new stadium. Probably not going to win in 2017, maybe 2018. You know, the new stadium becomes a novelty for a little bit, and then the fans kind of don't go away until you start building a winner. But, you know, you like what they did. I think they got some good guys. You don't know what they're going to they're all projected. Everybody says, oh, this guy's going to be a great big leaguer, but you don't know what they're going to do until they finally get there. I mean, I'm the old school thinking is, okay, Shelby Miller has done that. I like what the Diamondbacks have done. I know they gave up the number one pick. He's going home, but we don't know what he's going to do in the big leagues. You know what Shelby Miller's going to bring. The Diamondbacks are going to win. They want to win now. They want to compete in that NL West. They feel that they've done enough, and they're probably not done. But the Braves, at the same time, they're getting younger. They're getting more athletic. And going into that new stadium, maybe 2018 might be the year for them.
Rebuilding projects are odd. 4 years ago, the Oakland A's warned us all, we're going to take a step back. And they just started accumulating pitching. They get to spring training. Billy Beane looks around and goes, we've got the best pitching staff in the American League. Now, it may not be this year or next year, but we're rich with arms. They went to the postseason that year. So that's what's going to happen in Atlanta. They're going to go to spring training, and they're going to start running these arms out there and think, wait a minute, how long is that rebuilding period? I understand they're probably not going to be good this year. But when you have so much talent, it can happen more quickly than probably a lot of us think.
Now, the Diamondbacks, on the other hand, I think they look at these prospects, and I'm sure they love them. They drafted this guy in June. They know what Dansby Swanson is. But I think, right, they look at their current roster, and they look at a window where we have these position players. We have Paul Goldschmidt. We have an MVP caliber guy. We have good players, Pollock and what he's become. We can't wait for that wave to join this wave. Yeah. We need to strike now, and that's the philosophy, right, to bring in the pitching now to go with that.
Absolutely, and it all starts with Goldie. I mean, this is a guy who's been, it gets cliche to call him underrated, but you kind of become underrated when you're doing such good things under the profile of a team that's not going anywhere, which is what they've been. And so now it's great to see him finally get the support he's going to need to be on a playoff caliber team again. And you mentioned Pollock and Peralta broke out this year, so they got a really dynamic outfield. Yasmani Tomas is probably only going to get better. So the other thing I like about them is, they can mash for a team in the NL, but they also defend very well. So these pitchers they're bringing in are going to have the right support behind them to max out their potential. So I like that trade last night, really, from both sides. I know some people were kind of up in arms about what the D-backs gave up, but I understand striking when it is your window. I get that. And to Jeff's point, I mean, prospects are prospects, so you don't know what they are. You know what Shelby Miller is. I think for where these two teams are in their competitive timetable, it made a lot of sense for both sides.
How about Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart and what they're doing in general?
They're competitive people. We know them. Tony never said this is going to be a reconstruction. And don't you admire a general manager, a president of baseball operations, who just said, no, we're in. We're all in. You know, whatever it takes. This is about winning in 2016. It's about building credibility with our fans, bringing them back to the ballpark. It's about right now. And we'll worry about tomorrow. Maybe they'll pay a price for trading Dansby Swanson. But I admire that, as with Billy Bean going for it a couple of years ago, as with A.J. Preller in San Diego going for it last year. They're telling the fans, no 2-year, no 3-year, today.
Says a lot about the health of the game, I think, too, when suddenly the Diamondbacks are big budget or they're a big contract like that, and they have the big TV deal coming in.
Yeah,
it seems like slowly all those TV deals are lining
up. Well, it's always been the Giants and the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, now you throw in the Diamondbacks. You know, I like it because sometimes prospects can turn into suspects pretty quick. And Swanson's not going to be an impact player probably for 3 or 4 years, and this isn't what the Diamondbacks want. This is now. They go out and make the big splash with Greinke, and it's all about pitching. I don't think they're done. I think they'll go out and add some more. You know, I think they really need to add into their bullpen now. You know, Andrew Miller's been out there for the Yankees. That could be a move. But they're saying right now that we want to compete in the NL West. We want to win the West, and you do it with pitching. And they got a good top three with the addition of Miller, Corbin, and now Greinke. So, you know, I like what they've done. And you're going to have to give up some prospects, especially if it's all about now.
Another team that had a big Tuesday here at the winter meetings was the Chicago Cubs. They did it in two different ways at the same time, signing and trading, and really fascinating how quickly it comes about. But they signed Ben Zobrist when everybody was saying it's the Nationals or the Mets, the Nationals or the Mets. Suddenly it's the Cubs, and then suddenly Starlin Castro is a Yankee, and they get pitching as well. I mean, this is a team that, ahead of schedule, I think most people would say, makes it all the way to the NLCS. They have so much young talent, and then to be able to pull a move like this, how does Ben Zobrist first fit into that as a veteran guy?
Well, and one way to look at what happened on Tuesday was to frame it as, okay, they basically just made a trade, Starlin Castro for Ben Zobrist and Adam Warren plus cash, you know, and they have the cash. So, you know, obviously this is a guy you can plug and play at various spots. I'm sure at this stage of career he'd like to lock in more at second base. You know, probably easier on the body to lock in on one position, but you know, that lineup continues to be dynamic. Still questions about, you know, the leadoff spot, how exactly that shakes out and what that looks like. They still have question in center field, have the resources to go out and do a Jason Hayward, or at the very least drive up the price for the Cardinals. So there's a lot going on there in Chicago.
Joe Maddon met the media on Tuesday before any of this really was out, but he was asked about Ben Zobrist because obviously their time in the Rays, and he went on to praise him and to talk about how he even thinks should be a super utility position in the All-Star game. How much of a factor in Zobrist going to Chicago do you think Joe Maddon was?
I think geography was part of it, money was part of it, and there's obviously a comfort level with Joe Maddon. Joe Maddon's praise of Ben Zobrist. He would tell you there were years, you know, they played him in short, second, right, but there were years they would move him to one spot, shortstop 1 year.
Right.
He stabilized the whole club. He improved the defense, everything. He's a guy that when you think he's good, we know he's good, but when you play with him, you play against him, you appreciate him even more. And Adam Warren is a guy the Yankees like. He can go bullpen. He can go rotation. Cubs got better on Tuesday.
Oh, absolutely.
Is Adam Warren better?
I think so. You know, I actually like Adam Warren a lot better than I do Hamill and Hendricks. You know, I think he fits right there in a number four spot. I think he's going to go and become a starter. You know, he was a good starter with the Yankees. Now the Yankees don't have a backup plan in case one of those guys get hurt. Adam Warren was that backup guy. You saw the elevator, you know, go up and down with the Yankees and trying to get starters and try to get bullpen guys. Adam Warren was a consistent guy. He had a low 3 ERA, and now he's going to the National League. He's going to, you know, Chris Bosio, I know him really well, good pitching coach. You know, you look what he did with Arrieta and also with Lester. You put Lackey in there, you add Adam Warren. This guy can eat up innings as well. You know, I like him as a starter. You know, he's going to get the opportunity. I like him, you know, right behind those guys. And you know, I think it was a steal. And now can you send Castro to the Yankees, which, you know, everybody plays well with Maddon. Maddon seems to turn around everyone. You remember, you know, Escobar. Everybody had a problem with him. He goes to the Rays and he turns him around. And he's a great player. Well, Castro the same way. Castro, you know, mental, you know, maybe a little trouble in the clubhouse or in the field as far as not putting 100% all the time. You know, Maddon fixed that. But now you go, you get Zobrist to, you know, now at the age that he is, I think Madden's great as far as, okay, is he a 155, you know, game guy? Probably not. You know, you can put him all over. He's a leader in that clubhouse. You know what he can do. He'll punch you 15 to 20 home runs. But I like the Adam Warren deal. You know, he throws hard, throws a lot of strikes. He never gets shaken up. And plus, he's pitched in New York. I know it's a little bit different now in new Yankee Stadium compared to old Yankee Stadium. But when you're playing in the American League East, used to be one of the toughest divisions. Now you go to the Central, is probably, you know, NL Central is probably the toughest division in baseball. You know, I really like that move. I think that was great for the Cubs to get Warren.
Do they need to move Baez now, too? Can they hold on to him another season, or is now the time where you kind of have to get
there's,
him?
There's a bit of a logjam there that you'd probably like to see corrected. But, you know, and at the same time, though, they also have the ability to be pliable with it. I mean, it's in their best interest maybe to hold on to him and see how the season develops. See, there's always injuries that crop up. You know, one big picture point about the Cubs that I think should be made here, and you kind of alluded to this about Joe Maddon, and also, I mean, we all know they haven't won the World Series in a little while, and we're all familiar with that. But there's something going on here because I think players look at the 2004 Red Sox and the players who were a part of that and the legacy they left there. And to be a part of the next Cubs champion is going to be a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And to play for Joe Maddon is a big deal. And we just saw, I mean, Zobrist left a little money on the table. Trevor Cahill signed with the Cubs. He had better opportunities elsewhere from a starting standpoint, more of a conceivable rotation opening. But he stayed on with the Cubs. John Lester a year ago turned down more money from the Giants to sign with the Cubs. So, and there's other cases of this of players they've talked to who are willing to take less to go to the Cubs. And the Cubs are a destination right now in a big way. And I'm be curious to see how that plays into the outfield market.
And something they didn't have for a long time was the facilities, but that's quickly coming. We saw what they did to the ballpark last year, but the clubhouses are coming. And that's obviously important now to today's player. Likes to have that stuff too, the good batting cages and everything to go with.
Yeah, and you like to win. You like to win. You're going to play for a manager.
A little bit easier to hit in a hole when you're winning.
Yeah. And you're going to be part of something special, like you said. Now they got to go out and figure out what they're going to do in center field. Baez is going to start playing some games in center and winter ball, but I think they see him as a fall bat. I don't know if they look at Jason Hayward as a pure center fielder, but there's a great game going on with the Cubs and the Cardinals and the Giants. Like, Jason Hayward, this is a very good week to be Jason Hayward.
You think
Hayward.
They're done? You think the Cubs are done?
Absolutely.
They make a move that
no, like they're going to get in the outfield?
Yeah.
All right, now the Yankees, they get their second baseman. It seems like it's been since Robinson Cano left that they've needed a guy they could really have confidence in there. But now you have Ackley, you have Ref Snyder coming up, you have Castro. Do you like it from the Yankees standpoint?
Well, apparently they didn't feel like that Ref Snyder was enough or of an everyday guy, and they couldn't even platoon Ackley at second base. Ackley can play another number of positions. You wonder, now Castro is going to New York. You know, can Girardi motivate this guy? Because when you do motivate him, he's a good player. You know, he'll fit well in the middle of that lineup. You know, he's a good right-handed hitter who's a left-handed dominant, a lineup as far as when they're facing righties, they do well. They're having a hard time against left-handed pitching because a lot of those switch hitters have to go on the right-handed side, and they don't do well. So now you're adding a right-handed bat who's been in the big leagues before, and if you motivate him, you know, he becomes a good player. Now let's see how Girardi's going to do that. Obviously, they didn't feel that second base was enough. They didn't feel confident going in with the two young guys or with Ackley and Ref Snyder. They go and make that move. They gave up a big piece. I think Warren was a big piece for them. And, you know, an important piece for them because their starting rotation is in flux. You don't know if you're going to get health out of those guys. Even their bullpen, you know, the bullpen, he fits so well. He's such a good swing guy. So you're going to have to motivate Castro to get anything out of this trade.
Well, it must mean that Andrew Miller and Brett Gardner are going to be traded because the Yankees' whole thing this offseason, we got to get one more starting pitcher. Now you got rid of a quality arm here, a guy that was probably going to be a swingman, but a quality arm. So there clearly has to be another shoe to drop on this.
And the early talks were Brett Gardner and Castro, but the Yankees didn't want that. But now you still have Brett Gardner, so maybe you can go out.
Maybe the Cubs and the Yankees still aren't done. Maybe Gardner does go over. I think he's a great fit with the Cubs. I thought maybe that was going to work out for them. You know, maybe that's still something that can happen because I think you can get more back. I mean, Gardner's not been. Was he making $13 million for the next 3 years?
And he's a guy you want in your – I mean, he's one of those guys like Zobrist.
Oh,
guys
exactly.
Like playing with him.
Yeah,
he busts his butt every day, does whatever he's told.
He's like a National League player. I mean, this guy can bunt. He hits all fields, plays a great center field, you know, makes things happen on the bases. He's a perfect Joe Maddon guy.
Maybe the Yankees would be interested in Adam Warren. could do that.
Yeah, get him back. Wait a minute, we made a mistake because we don't even know if our five starters are going to be healthy.
Suddenly, there's been plenty of talk about second baseman here at the winter meetings, and now Neil Walker has moved teams. He goes from the Pirates to the New York Mets. Going the other way is John Neese, and it's a deal that seems to make a lot of sense for both teams.
We all know that the Pirates are struggling to piece together a rotation because the prices have jumped out of their control. I mean, they turned around Jay Happ in the second half last season, and he walks away for $36 million off the basis of really two good months. That's crazy, and that the Pirates just can't afford to do that. So they are great at the reclamation projects and bringing guys in, and Ray Searidge is great at turning guys around. So I'm sure they're still considering that, and maybe even Neese falls into that category a little bit as far as being more consistent. So I think he'd be a good fit for them. Obviously, Walker's price tag is something they don't want to handle right now, just given their infield depth and their pitching need. I think it's a good way to get it.
For Mets fans, is Walker enough to fill that spot when they thought they were getting Zobrist?
If I'm a Mets fan, I would say just put Dilson Herrera there and let's find out what we got. At some point, you have to transition with Lagares in center field, with Brandon Nimmo. And it's like the plan was you have all these kids you like, and I understand there's no perfect thing. Young players don't come with guarantees. But Sandy Alderson has so far been very reluctant to trade any pitching. And I know Neese is not one of the core four, core five guys, but I would not like that trade for the Mets, I'm not sure. I don't think.
I want to throw one out. I mean, we have Ian Desmond. For me, okay, the Mets missed out on Zobrist. They need some lineup. They need some offense. Why not Desmond over there at shortstop? You move Flores or whoever over to second base, and you get a decent hitter that probably hits you 20, 25 home runs. Last year was a down year for him. I think he's a much better player than that, a good defensive player. You're not giving up any of your pitching. Because who knows with those guys, you know, you got five great young starters that you're going to win with. You're going to need Neese at some point.
And we start to get a market correction at some point. You know, the late December market is different than the early December market. And in January, it's, oh, my God, where am I going to be?
Right.
Howie Kendrick's another name that's completely under the radar. Another news point from Wednesday morning that I wanted to get into was a safety measure. Major League Baseball, after we've seen fans in the stands getting hit by whether it be baseball or bats in the last few years, it's kind of drawn awareness into that, and Major League Baseball recommending to the teams on Wednesday morning, among other things, to expand the netting. And I think this is fascinating in one sense because the people who really probably don't want to see this happen is the fans who are the ones who would be protected by it, but it sounds like it is going to happen to some degree.
And where are they voicing their displeasure? Probably on their phones, on Twitter, looking down, which is
while
part
the game
problem.
Is going.
Right.
Yeah.
So I get it from both sides. You don't want your view obstructed. I mean, it's obstructed behind home plate to the same degree, and people seem to handle that all right. I think it's an important safety issue. I really do. I did a story some years back about a young boy who got hit in the head with a foul ball at a minor league game, and all the medical troubles he went through as a result of that. And you know, obviously his parents were supportive of Nets down the line. It's great to finally see it. Steps being taken towards that end, and that's what this is a great first step, in my opinion.
I think this has been a very tough thing for Commissioner Manfred and the guys in charge, because the fan surveys are overwhelming. Yeah. We don't want the netting,
right.
And yet there's a safety issue. How many times do you have to see a bat fly in the stands or a ball fly in the stands? You know, and it is a different era now. You know, we are looking at our phones more.
Blame the smartphone, right?
Yeah, and so how do you balance that? I don't know how you feel about it, but if you put netting all the way down the dugout, ultimately we adjust as fans to it.
Yeah, you had a good point. I mean, the people behind the home plate, I mean, they're paying tons of money for that seat back there, and they don't seem to matter, I mean, or mind. You know, now you're going to extend it. I think in the minor leagues, that's also a recommendation. You know, the plate and the field of play is so much closer to the stance. You know, I think that's very important because there it's more, not that the big leagues and major league stadiums aren't family oriented, but more in the minor leagues you'll see families go out and you got kids running all over the place. So I think it's really better for that situation because the play is so closer to the fans. I mean, the big leagues, a lot of the parks, you look at Oakland, you're so far away from from the field of play. But, you know, I like it in some sense. You know, I don't think they have to change the ticket price. You know, you hear, okay, now they're going to have to put it in the ticket, or they're going to give the those fans the ability to be able to switch their seats if they want. But the guys in the home plate don't. You know, and you look at, you know, Yankee Stadium, you know, during batting practice, they'll throw that net up all the way down to, you know, each right field line and left field line, because the bats and balls, I mean, there's so many people down there that, you know, a lot of them, it'll leak over there anyway and get hit. So I like that idea.
This has been a blast going through all this stuff for the winter meetings. Before we break, I just want to know a winner. Just give me a winner from the winter meetings 2015. After Tuesday night, I feel like we can do this now because a lot of stuff happened.
Well, it's almost jinxing the team, isn't it? I mean, yeah. You start giving a winner last year, and they're going home watching it in October.
This part of the podcast,
I don't even want to do it.
Maybe cut depending on what
I'm
happens.
I'm not
the
predict
rest
them.
Of the way. Take one anyway.
I mean,
give me a
team. First time I went to Wrigley Field, I actually enjoyed it. I think this is awesome. I don't want to jinx them. You know, the Cubs okay. have been outstanding. You know what they've done. I think it really helped improve their team.
I'm going to jinx the Diamondbacks. I think they've had a pretty good week here.
I'm going to agree with Jeff and say the Cubs, but again, I like what the Braves did too. As far as a team that's in a long-term plan, they scored a big one.
All right, Anthony Castrovince, Richard Justice, Jeff Nelson, thanks so much. It's been a blast. This has been the MLB.com Hot Stove Podcast presented by K Jewelers.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.